Hello and welcome to The Hearing, our music review show here on the channel. I'm John.
And I'm Scotto.
And just a little follow-up to last week. As I mentioned last week, it was really my first exposure to St. Vincent. And I've been working my way through a catalog. I'm up to, I think I'm 4 or 5 songs into the self-titled album.
Oh, okay.
I've been going in order. I bought the first 3.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized who she reminds me of artists who precede her. Bjork.
Well, you know, funny you mentioned about artists who preceded her. You know, Spotify has now, that they officially have the entire Peter Gabriel catalog. Oh. And just listening to So Today, I'm up to that part in the catalog. Like, this is so St. Vincent.
Yeah, I mean, Gabriel, I can see too easily. Bjork, I hear a big Bjork influence.
Like, Sledgehammer with all those horns and everything. Yeah.
And can you imagine St. Vincent covering Army of Me?
Yeah, I could.
So I think Bjork was big. Gabriel, like you mentioned, probably very big. Also, I did a little research on... Actually, I can't say research. I watched a video about her signature guitar. And she said she did design it to be lightweight. But
right.
Then I checked, and the production model is 7 pounds, which is on the slightly lighter side of average for an electric guitar.
Okay.
So I don't really know if it's all that light. Anyway, enough of that. On to this week's album, which is from 2018, American Utopia by David Byrne. David Byrne is a Scottish-American musician who was the founding member, or a founding member, principal songwriter, lead singer, and guitarist of the American new wave band Talking Heads from 75 to 91.
I feel like it's one of those, maybe you've heard of them.
Byrne is also a multi-instrumentalist and is known for his distinctive voice. Since leaving Talking Heads, Byrne has released his own solo recordings and worked in various mediums, including film, photography, opera, fiction, nonfiction, has received Oscar, Grammy, Golden Globe awards, and been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Released on March 9th, 2018, maybe the most recently released album we've done.
Could be.
Well, not most recently to when we've recorded it, because we did the Band-Aid album like 3 weeks after.
Oh, that's right.
It was released, you know, 3 weeks before we reviewed it. But this is released the latest of anything we've reviewed.
Yeah.
Because that was like, this is like a month after that. Through Toto Mundo, I hope I'm pronouncing that, and Nonesuch Records, American Utopia is one part of a larger multimedia project entitled Reasons to Be Cheerful, which aims to give reasons for being happy and optimistic in spite of political strife and environmental problems. The problem was titled after an Ian Dury song, Reasons to Be Cheerful, Part 3. It was produced by David Byrne, Brian Eno, which explains a lot.
Of course.
And Roddy McDonald. Yes, I did look up the pronunciation of Roddy McDonald. And features David Byrne on vocals, Isaiah Barr on Everyone's Coming to My House. Everybody's Coming to My House, sorry. A few people are just credited for being on that song.
Yeah, it's very. I saw the credits, so it's very strange. There's no other song that they're credited being on.
Doveman, Jack Pinate, just credited as being on the album, no specific instrument or song credits. Brian Eno, robot rhythm guitar on Everybody's Coming to My House.
That is a distinctly Ryan Eno. No surprise when you hear that.
I would love to know if he actually played it or he set up a robot to play the part.
Good question.
Also, Sampha and TTY are also credited for Everybody's Coming to My House. Nobody else on any other song. That's odd. Just a reminder, I don't edit songs into the video for copyright reasons, but down in the description, there are links to the album, the full album, on Spotify and YouTube, so you can listen along with us. On to track one, Dance Like This.
The beginning reminds me a lot of the beginning of Soul Invictus by Faith No More.
Okay.
Which begins their latest album from a couple years ago. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, an old man slowly singing, sort of. I think Faith No More is a bit more menacing, of course.
Faith No More. Surprisingly mellow.
But then the chorus.
The chorus is very jarring because it's this really mellow thing, and I'm not used to Byrne being mellow.
No. Well, there's some tracks he did every now and again.
Once in a while. But I'm used to the African rhythms and the, you know, kind of quirky sound of Burn.
When you would get mellow, there's usually a sensitivity to it.
Yeah, true.
You're not used to a gruffness from David Byrne. Yeah, true.
And then the chorus comes in. It's very jarring.
Yes, I love the fucking chorus.
It's very atonal and rhythmic.
Just so fucking weird and catchy.
In a sense, it reminds me of the Pixies. In their kind of, you know, loud, soft, loud thing.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
The thing that Nirvana ripped off. Yes, I'm throwing that grenade out there. Nirvana was nothing more than a second-rate Pixies tribute band.
Ooh, shots fired.
But I think by the second chorus, I got it. Because he's talking about how, you know, dealing with troubles in life. And, you know, it's kind of a dark movie. And then we dance like this because it feels so damn good. I kind of got it by the second chorus. And I like how the chorus got bigger each time.
Right. This is crazier, stranger additions thrown into. Mm. Just like, yeah. Love it.
On to track two, Gasoline and Dirty Sheets. This is more Burn. The groove is very kind of vaguely African. It was just kind of a staple.
You kind of like, is he getting psychedelic now? Because, I mean, the opening sounded like a little bit of a sitar kind of thing to it. Yeah. But then it just disappears. That there's not, it's not referenced again. It's just kind of like a, you know, beginning of a George Harrison song, and then it goes into a normal David Byrne song.
And there's a lot more guitar on the chorus than I would have expected from him. You know, there's a lot of guitar, but it's kind of that you know, wiry African style.
Well, or funky, kind of what Byrne,
or kind of a funk thing. You know,
I was always pushing.
That's David Byrne's thing. I don't expect a loud, distorted guitar on a Byrne song. And I really like the harmonica in the break, too.
Yeah.
It was a real nice surprise.
I mean, it's really mostly his voice carrying this song until you get to that, you know, the drum machine. Well, no, that bass line that kind of builds up after it.
Right.
But mostly it's carried by his vocals, which a lot of the songs are.
Yeah, a lot of his stuff is. He's got this signature voice that, you know, is unlike anyone else. On to track three, Every Day is a Miracle. This is kind of where the album went a little south for me. I'm just going to say it. Interesting soundscapes at the beginning. The bass and percussion were very 80s sounding. There's this big cracking percussion that was on a lot of 80s songs. But his kind of obtuse lyrics never really sold it. It never really worked for me. I mean, I like, you know, kind of weird cryptic lyrics, Soundgarden, Darling Violetta, band we'll be revealing eventually. Great, you know, abstract lyrics. Burns' weird lyrics never really did it for me.
I love this song and the sound of it. But the lyrics are blunt.
There was something about a chicken and a donkey dick and the feeling of your tongue in your mouth.
But that chorus... And
I'm not being facetious. He does say something about a donkey dick.
Oh, yeah. Yes. he does. I mean, it's weird, and that's what I like about it.
And there are some nice atonal synths in the bridge.
The chorus is just fucking, I mean, earworm central, without a doubt. I mean, if it wasn't for those lyrics, this could have been a big single.
Yeah.
But maybe I'll put a video together for it online. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. On to track four, Dog's Mind. Really interesting string sounds at the beginning.
Yeah.
They're kind of like a bow dragging across the strings, not like a dead cat kind of way, but just in a weird kind of, like they drug a stone across the strings in a weird way. Also weirdly mellow for Burn. Again, I'm not used to mellow from Burn.
It's kind of a quiet interlude. This is more of the quiet David Byrne though that we've heard in the past, where it's more of just a vulnerable. It's just a meditation on what a dog is thinking. I'm thinking. Yeah. You know, there's some nice harmonies on it, but really it's just kind of a fragment.
Some more nice 80s big cracking percussion and a line about doggy dancers doing their duty. And I have to look at a lyric sheet.
How did he spell duty, by the way?
Exactly why I have to look at a lyric sheet.
Okay.
Now on to track four, this is that. This is one of two tracks that weren't written by Byrne and Eno. This was written by David Byrne and Daniel Lopatin. I'm going to guess. I've been studying French, so I'm going to err French on that pronunciation. And this is where the album gets a bit too self-indulgent for me. We were talking about this after recording last time, and I meant to look it up, whom far as who wrote what or produced what, but when he was with Talking Heads, they kind of leashed him a little bit. They restrained him. I don't know if it was, I suspect it was Jerry Harrison. I think he had a lot more creative input than in, the, you know, or almost as much as Byrne. But they kept him from going too weird.
But it's kind of what I like about this. You know, you have this Asian-inspired music with this industrial-style bass going together.
And it's a nice odd percussion on the verse, yeah.
Interplaying with his voice, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, the three just, you know, kind of spin around with that. Yeah, that odd, it's an odd chorus, you know, that's when.
And the, I'm calling it the bridge, but I'm calling that in quotes. He kind of sings a line and speaks it at the same time. That was really interesting.
Right. Song structure is kind of out the window.
Hearing him sing and speak in harmony, again, quotes, was really fascinating. On to track six, it's not dark up here.
It's kind of he comes back to the I dance like this
sound from
the beginning.
Nice guitar in the intro. And backwards vocals on the chorus saying hey. And they were saying the word hey clearly.
Oh yeah. But
they must have been saying it backwards because it's that telltale kind of ghostly backwards recording.
Right.
So they must have been like, yeah. And that, you know, backwards worked as hey. Loved that.
Okay.
Yeah, the groove is... I've seen, you know, backwards recorded vocals before and they actually do say the words backwards.
The groove is just perfect in this, though, I think.
And the whistle solo was nice.
always strange to have a whistling solo. Whether you're David Byrne or Bing Crosby, it's still going to be strange.
And the album does have a nice variety of percussion sounds.
Yes.
Mostly electronic, but it's Eno. And going back to, you know, what I was saying about the rest of Talking Heads leashing him, Eno does the opposite.
Right.
Eno does anything but leash the eccentricity of an artist.
And well, the two work together often. I mean,
okay,
yeah,
that they've explains done, why his solo stuff never really hit me.
I think they've done some much stranger stuff than this. Actually, I'm kind of coming back to a more normal.
Okay. Admittedly, I'm not that familiar with his solo stuff. I've only heard a song here or there. I like Talking Heads, but like his solo stuff just got a little too weird for me.
Like the two of them just doing atmospheric, you know, ambient sounds. Mm-hmm. But I mean, where it goes from that whistling solo then they add this string sound to give it this weird, unexpected, unnecessary urgency, mm-hmm. of course, too. I think this could be one of the strongest on the album, actually.
Okay. On to track seven, Bullet. Very surprisingly specific lyrics.
Probably the saddest song I've heard David Byrne ever do.
Yeah. Because it's all about a bullet going through a body.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be the latest insert, latest school shooting here. Because, you know, by the whichever one happens to the closest to when you hear this.
This is being put out the day after we're recording and we still don't know.
Of course.
And the sound effect break was interesting.
Right.
Like, this kind of harkens back a little bit to Information Society, where there was an instrumental break that was sound effects.
Right. It's almost kind of sounded like Artie Lang or something. I mean, it's just somebody screaming.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it could have been, maybe it was the Howard Stern show. Who knows?
I think Byrne was on there a few times. So.
He probably was. But it's just kind of mixed, though, so you can't really tell what's going on. But you hear, you know, it's human voices. Instead of a solo, that's what he did. And then, of course, he does he likes doing the abrupt ending. You know, I think he's always done that with Talking Heads.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's his signature again. On to track eight, Do the Right Thing.
Don't leave me standing here. I can't get used to this lifestyle, you know, sort of ending.
yeah. Exactly. On track eight, Do the Right Thing, or Doing the Right Thing.
I always love when David Byrne gets like a James Brown sort of, you know, that's right and help me now, you know, ad libs.
Yeah. And there's a really nice distant guitar sound. I would love to know how they did it because it sounds like the cabinet was like 10 feet away from the mic. And that might be how they did it, but
maybe.
Like, 10 feet outside, so there's all sorts of ambient noise, just making it sound small, but not quite telephone small. And the orchestra hits on the chorus are really nice
too. Yeah.
Again, more 80s sounding synth. This album was very 80s in a lot of ways.
It was. That's what I'm saying. Like they went off the reservation for so many different strange projects, mm-hmm. like that Imelda Marcos musical and whatnot. And then
you come back with this. As I have said in previous episodes, or actually not of this or of this show, Zombie Takeout, I've said this last year a couple of times. I love weird. I live for
yes,
weird.
Yes.
But Burn is a little too weird for me.
Well, that episode of Space Ghost was enough for you when he was like staring at him and the, yeah. you know, the weird effects.
I'm convinced the rest of the heads were leashing him in some way. We're
just definitely. Like, no, we you know, we just need to do this. There needs to be a song in there.
yeah, pretty much.
But I mean, he's trying to put songs together out of this. I mean, it's sort of like what Gabriel was doing in the early days, you know, with that album, the fourth one, also known as Security, where like Shock the Monkey is like the single from the album. If that, if you think about that, I mean, that is not yeah. really a single.
No, not at all.
It's the imagination. But on that album, that was the single.
Speaking of which, side note, but I'm glad you've been marathoning Gabriel all week on Spotify.
Yeah.
Because it reminded me of my favorite Gabriel song that I had completely forgotten about.
Oh, which one?
Darkness.
Oh, yes. Yeah, such a criminally underrated album, mm-hmm. Up. Nobody, hardly anybody even knew it existed, you know, when it was out.
Quick thing, like you should probably say this for the afterwards, but have you heard Darker Star?
Darker Star. Is that
instrumental version of Darkness he did for a Canadian sci-fi show called Star Hunter 2300.
No, I have not heard that yet.
I'll look it up on YouTube when we're done.
But hey,
back to David Byrne.
Back to doing the right thing. This is, you know, a lot like the stuff he did with St. Vincent, this one, where there's this, you know, sort of mundaneness to the lyrics too, mm-hmm. and just this irony, you know, about the human condition and right. just expressing it very simplicity, you know.
On to track 9. This actually is the official single. Everybody's Coming to My House.
Yes.
Loved the horns at the beginning.
Very jazzy.
Great bass line. This is the only song that I really, really like on the album.
Oh, yeah?
I love the groove and the harmonies and the horns. I'm realizing between this week and last week, I really like horns, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Great atonal guitar work at the beginning of the second verse. Best groove on the album.
I think the first time I heard this one was before I saw St. Vincent live. She was playing this on the PA system, like before the show.
And there's a guitar solo on a David Byrne song. I don't know. I'm not familiar with his solo work that much. Really surprised me. I also freaked out when I first heard Wild Wild Life and there was a guitar solo on a Talking Head song. I just don't expect guitar solos on his stuff.
I mean, like for Talking Heads, stuff like Born Under the Punches has a very strange guitar solo. I mean, they would do some very odd guitar solos. Yeah,
that's true. I don't think of them as solos. They're just more kind of, you know, little bits of
fretting, you know, and picking yeah. kind of things.
He got this, and I don't know if Byrne played it or if he just, you know, told other people what to do. But it's this very African, you know, staccato, wiry kind of sound.
Typically. I think that's kind of always been his sound, I think, you know.
But this is a proper guitar solo.
Yeah.
With distortion and everything, it's just not what I expected from a Byrne song.
But it's not just a normal guitar solo. Well, I mean, true, it's like when you hear that it's Brian Eno that was working it, they're kind of like, yeah, I could see that.
That was the solo, because I thought it was one of those kind of rhythmic guitar parts during the song that he was.
No, I think it's that weird ass solo. like that has Eno written all over it.
I didn't know Eno played guitar.
I don't know. I think it's more like a synth guitar thing.
Maybe. I'm sure Eno's a keyboard player. I'd be shocked if he didn't play keys. But
I think Eno probably plays every instrument.
This is true. Honestly. It's Eno. He probably does play a lot of instruments. Yeah. On to track 10. here, also written by David Byrne and Daniela Patan. Interesting groove on the verses.
Probably his strongest vocals on the album, actually.
Little too much layering on the chorus. I think it takes away from the groove.
It, you know, devolves into this circle of harmonies and some more funky music. But you know, it's a pretty good outro, you know?
And a nice soundscape between the verses. The lyrics really kind of remind me of, I think it was on, it was almost some animated show. I don't remember if it was Simpsons or Family Guy. There was this Randy Newman parody. Where Randy Newman would show up and just narrate what the character was doing in a typically Randy Newman style. The lyrics really reminded me of that.
The lyrics don't even stand out to me in this. I'm trying to even remember.
I don't have it in my notes. I just have it that they remind me of that Randy Newman gag.
But I just remember the vocals. And you know, it sort of follows the rule of, you know, the prog rule that I was putting out the last one. You have your big, you know, epic centerpiece sort of, you know, your load, if you will, as we used to call it in the original podcast. And then you have this, you know, meditative, you know, contemplative track afterwards to close it out.
It's kind of a denouement.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, exactly.
All right, so obviously you would recommend it.
Definitely, in a heartbeat.
I'm going to give a qualified recommendation on this one. And I kind of wish I had been more familiar with Ted Leo's work before we reviewed it, because I think I probably would have done the same for him. If you really like Byrne solo stuff, you will love this. It is Byrne on 11. If you're not into Byrne stuff, I would say skip it.
I kind of wonder if Ted Leo's first album was a good intro or not to Ted Leo. I don't know.
I think maybe if I were more familiar with his stuff, I would have got kind of understood what he did and given it the same kind of recommendation where if you like his stuff, you'll like it. If you're not familiar with Byrne, skip it. Or at least give it like a couple of songs, and if it's not for you, don't bother.
If you're not familiar with Byrne, you need to get familiar with Byrne. Sure. I think.
Start Holy with Talking shit, Heads. Start with Talking Heads.
Work your way back from here. You know, I mean, that's kind of fun.
Well, yeah, maybe then it would get more constrained. That could be
exactly. It's kind of fun to do to work your way back to find an artist or what they're doing currently, and then go all the way back to, oh wow, that's where they peaked, and then oh wow, that's where they began.
Peaked would be somewhere around There She Was.
Oh, I don't think so.
Maybe Nothing But Flowers.
Well, that was the end.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That was
the very end of it. I don't know. I mean, I've always been, I think it was Remain in Light. With Warner the Punches. Yeah. That's just such a, I think if they were to review Talking Heads out, maybe that would be the one I'd pick.
Remain in Light is the classic.
Yeah.
Just a quick side note. Well, not exactly a side note. Bat Byrne. I was looking through the instruments he plays because they mentioned a multi-instrumentalist, and I didn't know he played more than guitar. I kind of figured keys, but they list buildings. And a handful of other things, but they list buildings as an instrument that he plays.
More songs about buildings and the government and food.
All right.
Not in that order.
That's it for American Utopia. Bye, David Byrne. If you enjoyed this video, please give it a like, and if you haven't, please subscribe. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Love This Giant by David Byrne and St. Vincent. This was kind of a trilogy.
Yes.
Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.